I saw some of the Australian television program 60 Minutes last weekend. Yes, I did. And was drawn to the story of two young men who kayaked from Australia to New Zealand. Little did I know that this week I would meet two young men who are about to trek across Victoria Island, one of the most obscure places on planet Earth. Well, it is to me anyway. So, g'day to Chris Bray and Clark Carter. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. Is it early for you? Is it late? It's 9:45. Are you guys up at Sparrows normally?
Well, this morning we got up at 6:30. We had a talk at one of the primary schools here. What was the name of that primary school?
Oh, I don't know.
It was something. We were talking to some of the kids there in year 3 and 4, so that was really fun. So we're wide awake.
Yeah, wide awake. You're not from here, obviously. Where are you from originally?
Chris? From Sydney, actually, yeah. So I think we are actually a few hours ahead of you.
Okay. Before I discovered anything about you adventurous chaps, I looked at the website and was immediately impressed by the photography. So who's responsible for that?
I do a lot of the photography. We do share almost everything, the filming and the photographing, but I was just made an ambassador for Canon the other day, so I've been given some amazing camera gear. So that really helps.
Yeah, nice. Clark, how do you ever stop taking pictures of beautiful places that, you know, like you must just be constantly looking and going, oh, yeah, nice shot.
Yeah, one of the bizarre things, when you're out on an expedition, you imagine obviously it's physically tough and mentally tough, but the third aspect, which a lot of people don't realise, is everything that happens, not only are you trying to deal with it yourself, you're also thinking, wow, I should take a photo of this or I should be filming this. So that's actually a really difficult thing to try and keep in your mind all the time, but it's also really rewarding when you get back and you've got all these fantastic images and movies for when you return in to show everybody.
The W's dot 1,000 hour day, so 1000hourday.com. That's it, isn't it?
That's the one.
Everyone, take a look. If you can get internet access, go and have a look because it is stunning. What's the 1,000-hour day bit about?
Okay, it's actually a continuation of an expedition we started in 2005 where we got about a third of the way across the island. And back then when we got into the Arctic, because you've got the 24-hour sunlight, the sun never sets up there in summer.
Uh-huh.
And so the first day was about 1,000 hours long.
Right.
Plenty long enough.
Gosh. Victoria Island, where is it?
Okay, Victoria Island is located just north of the Canadian mainland in the Arctic there. It's about 500 kilometres north of the Arctic Circle. So it's just buried in amongst all the other islands in the Arctic archipelago north of Canada.
And in... Sorry, were you going to say something?
Oh, it's... For something, it's the ninth largest island in the world.
Okay.
So for something that large, it's actually sort of overlooked by everyone when you're looking at a map. I know when we first discovered this island on the map, Victoria Island, we were just like, wow, I've never seen that before. How could we have skipped over it so often?
Well, in 2005, you spent 58 days trying to get across. You didn't get all the way, did you?
No, actually, there's a few different reasons because of that, but mainly because the island is actually unexplored. We didn't really know what we'd face out there. We had a few pilots who'd flown over and they're like, oh, it's rocky or it's a bit of mud.
No monsters really or anything, just, you know.
Yeah, well, we didn't see any.
Yeah, right. You're prepared this time, I'm sure.
Yeah, we know what to expect.
You took 250 kilos of gear and supply each. That's a lot of lugging.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you've used... some language that I don't really understand. What's a PAC? A PAC?
A PAC is our acronym for a paddleable amphibious cart.
Sure.
Which is the, obviously.
Yeah.
It's the thing we've made in the garage at home to put all our gear in.
Now, Chris, you're an engineer?
Electrical engineer, yeah.
An electrical engineer. You're an explorer. What do you say when people ask you that question? What do you do?
Yeah, it's really tricky, actually. You don't know whether to say you're a professional adventurer or... You say, oh, I'm an engineer, and you sort of apply your engineering skills to adventures. It's a tricky one. But
what do you say, Clark?
Depends who's asking it. Sometimes I'm a cameraman, sometimes I'm an adventurer, and other times I just say student if I don't want to have a big discussion.
Yeah.
Don't have the time.
Yeah. I sometimes say hairdresser just to
just
completely
to
throw them.
That's a good one.
Chris, how old are you?
I'm 24.
And I'm 23.
Okay, so when I said young men before, I wasn't wrong.
No.
You have you always wanted to do this?
Actually, I grew up sailing around the world on a yacht, a homemade yacht, for 5 years instead of primary school.
You were a young engineer. Mm. You started building boats.
That's right, yeah.
Or was it your folks, perhaps?
Well, my dad did most of the work, that's
true. Yeah,
sure. I was only five.
And I don't know where I got mine from. I just sort of, even as a little tacker, I was always running around and taking my friends around the rocks at the beach and always having little adventures. And, you know, as you grow up, you like rock climbing, surfing, hiking, and then it just sort of turns into mountain climbing and then Arctic expeditions.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I think every boy wants to go on an adventure, and most people grow out of it, and we didn't.
Yeah.
Fair enough. When I was reading about your work, I was listening to some music at the same time, and I was getting really pumped up. So what do you do to motivate yourself, or do you need to demotivate yourself to calm down? Or
during the day, you really have to motivate yourself, and that's when you put your iPod in and you turn it up really loud. When the going gets hard, you just turn it up even louder. And then at the end of the day, we do have little rituals we go through to chill out, certain bits of music or a cup of coffee or, yeah.
Yeah, it's really quite outstanding how much music does help you push on each day. It's even, you notice it a lot more when the tracks change and you've got that 1 second of silence in between songs and you suddenly hear all the noises outside and you hear yourself panting and suddenly it becomes a lot harder, and then as soon as the next song comes on, you get taken away into the next world and you can just continue on walking.
That lack of noise in an unexplored island must be an interesting phenomenon to experience.
It's bizarre because you can say that it's quite lack of noise, but when you're out there, there's geese doing their thing and there's wind and there's all sorts of bizarre animal noises, and when you're walking, you're making all the noises on the rocks and through mud, and there's waves and wind, and it's all quite noisy for something where there's not much civilization.
Yeah,
that was a little of the silence of Victoria Island. You boys got very nervous very quickly. Having looked into it a little, I think what you do is incredibly cool. But why do you do it?
That's always a tricky question. But basically, we enjoy the challenge of going out there and seeing what we're made of, what you can do. And out there where people haven't been before, it's just amazing. You wake up every day and all you can be sure of is that today you'll probably do and see things that no one has ever done before, rather than waking up sort of back at home when we go to a job or something. You wake up and you know exactly what's going to happen between now and when you go to sleep. So it's really motivating to wake up. And you wear animals have never seen humans before, so they walk right up to you. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And it's also just the aspect of having a good old-fashioned adventure and getting into a bit of trouble every now and then and just putting yourself possibly one step in the deep end.
Chris, you're a member, I think you might both be, but I know for sure you're a member of a group called the Society for Human Performance in Extreme Environments.
Yeah, we both are, yeah.
What do you mob do when you get together?
Well, we don't actually get together very much because I guess being in that kind of group, you're always off doing different things. But there's astronauts in there and all sorts of crazy people. Basically, they just give you facilities for research you can do on yourself while you're out there. So we're going to be looking at our body fat index as it changes as we go out there.
What body fat?
We're working on it. We're trying to.
Surely. You must be the fittest blokes I know.
Well, it's actually bizarre at the moment. Our training consists of eating as much food as we can, trying to put on a little bit of body fat before we leave. So our training consists of donuts and beer a lot of the time.
Great.
As well as a lot of hard work in between.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yes, Clark Carter and Chris Bray are about to explore Victoria Island. They are adventurous young men. When do you go and how long will it take?
Okay, we fly out of Australia on May 13th and then we're going to start walking possibly about a week after that. And we're giving ourselves 100 days. We're packing 100 days worth of food and supplies in our packs and continue walking. For all we know, we could do it in 30 days, or if it's a lot more difficult, once again, we could stretch that out to maybe 120 days or so.
Yep.
So we might be back in October, back in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And will we be seeing a film?
Definitely. Yeah. We took around 40 hours of high-definition footage in 2005. This time around, we're probably going to take about 50 hours just because we're there for a bit longer. So when we get back, we're going to be editing all of that footage into a documentary, which we'll be putting through all the direct channels and our film festivals.
2008, pretty much slated
booked
for
out,
you.
Yeah, same with 2009, actually, but that's another story.
Another story, another time. I hope that you survive and thrive, and you can come back and talk to us about 2009 on your way back to Sydney via, the Arctic.
Yeah, you should be able to hear a bit about it, because our main sponsor is IINet here in Perth, so uh-huh. They can be spreading the word for us.
Excellent. I had a punt on your website, and I've gone for 87 days, 87. Allowing for some lying on the rocks and getting a suntan. So chukas to you, and thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure. Hey,
thank you.
Chris Bray and Clark Carter, who are about to head off soon to do some more exploring, and you can find out more at the ws.1000hourday. That's 1000hourday.com. I commend their website. It's beautiful. Or you can find out more at rtrfm.com.au.